Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello again. Welcome to this latest podcast and welcome Natalie Wood, Yara's Agronomy Operations Manager. I'm Ken Rundle, and with Natalie, I'm going to take a closer look at precision agriculture, delivered using a pretty smart combination of sensors, algorithms, satellites, computers, and mobile phones. They're all part of Yara's at-farm system. It's designed to make a farmer's life easier and management more accurate, in particular when dealing with fertilizer applications. And Natalie Wood, given the weather we've had in the last months, calculating exactly what crops and soils need in the way of nutrients can be a nightmare, can't it?
Yeah, and I don't really want to dwell on the weather too much because, you know, many people have had some horrendous conditions this autumn and winter. But with that, you know, does come a few issues. So I think I'd spoken before in a previous podcast about how anaerobic conditions can alter, you know, the way that we need to think about managing the nutrition. We don't necessarily know how much mineralization has happened over winter, due to, you know, various different factors, the amount of excess rainfall. It has been relatively warm winter, which is beneficial, obviously, for mineralization. But I guess what I want to put across is that we just don't know what that value is. So we can use systems like AtFarm and the tools within that, and they can take some of that guesswork out. So rather than thinking, oh, how much mineralization have I got, how much nitrogen is left in the soil, you know, you can get a definitive value, which can then obviously give you a better informed decision to choose your nitrogen rate accordingly.
Well, we're approaching another key period in the crop nutrition program for this season. In general terms, then, how can AtFarm help?
Yeah, so there's quite a few functionalities within AtFarm itself. You know, there's various different ways that you can look at your biomass and mapping of your fields, but also then you can use the tools like the N-tester, which will give you that definitive value in terms of what your crop's taken up, and then be able to give you a recommendation as well based on that. There's also the variable rate application maps, which again, as the name suggests, would be creating a variable map for that field. So the end goal is to make it a nice homogeneous crop. So again, you know, great tool that we can use when we don't know how much nitrogen potentially the crop has got in it. So there's a various options. There is a kind of a crop nutrition plan as well, but obviously we're a bit late in the season to be doing that now. You'd do that in the back end of the year. But yeah, lots of functionalities within the system. And hopefully, because it's a bit of a difficult season, we can use these tools to help increase the overall nutrient use efficiency.
And the point is, a lot of these algorithms and calculations are based on an awful lot of data collected over previous years. This isn't something that's brand new. It's built on an awful lot of research.
Yeah, so the actual algorithm that we use within AtFarm for the variable rate application maps comes from the N-sensor. So obviously we've had that N-sensor technology for 20 plus years now. So that, you know, really enables you to get the most out of these satellite maps because we're using that N-sensor technology within it. And if you go onto the system, you'll see that rather than just using NDVI, which is kind of a scale of 9 different shades of green, we've actually got more like 27, I think it is, different colours. So with a greater level of colours, obviously, we can show a lot more variation. So that's kind of where the background for all that data comes from. And of course, the N-sensor is also part of AtFarm. And we know, again, that's been around for 20 plus years. So we've had a lot of data being gathered over that time, which, you know, we feed back in year on year into the device.
Well, looking at those tools in the AtFarm armory, I suppose one of the most relevant at this stage in a growing cycle is the N-tester. Now, how does that work?
Yeah, so the N-tester basically is looking at the level of chlorophyll that's in the plant. It does that by you pinch the leaf between the sensor and it looks at the amount of light that goes through that, picks up the different wavelengths that are relevant for chlorophyll. From that, you can then determine the amount of nitrogen that's in the crop because the amount of chlorophyll directly relates to the amount of nitrogen. And then, of course, if you've got the variety in there as well, you can then get a recommendation based on that level that's in the crop. So really useful tool, especially, like I say, in a difficult season when you're not 100% sure how much nitrogen has been taken up, how much is in the soil. You know, it just takes all of that guesswork out of it. And yeah, as we're coming up to the second application, hopefully, I know some have only just put their first application on, but it's really useful that second and third application in cereals, for example.
And it is easy to use. You don't need to go on a special course to learn how to use it.
I wouldn't say so, no. It is quite intuitive. The device itself, you know, without a smartphone, you can't really use it because you need to use it in conjunction with the AtFarm app. So all the data that you put in, such as the growth stage, the variety, etc., you'll put into that interface on the app. And then the device is as easy as pinching a leaf between it. You do have to take quite a lot of samples, though. So you need to take 30 samples to get a good representative analysis across the whole field. So I would suggest, you know, doing it kind of similar to a soil sample in that W shape, just to get a really representative sample across the field. Of course, if you've got very different soil types or a really good area versus a poor area, then you treat them differently. So you'd do samples in the poor area, samples in the good area, and then either you can use the average or you can, you know, play around and do some variable rate on either of those sides.
I know, I mean, I suppose what it looks like on an audio podcast, it's a bit like a stapler, isn't it? It's nothing too fancy.
Yeah, I guess you could say it looks a bit like a stapler, but yeah, like you say, you just pinch it and you can use one hand for the device, one hand for the leaf. So, you know, I find it quite easy to use, but I guess I've had a lot of practice with it.
Well, as you've mentioned before, that we end up from all this with various maps. Could you explain a bit more about these? What information do they have and how easy are they to alter and adapt or even share?
Yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned before, when you first go onto the system, you see the satellite imagery and that's kind of set into different maps. So there's the standard NDVI map, which I mentioned, you know, it saturates out after a certain growth stage. So it's useful up until a point. But what we have is then the optimized map, which uses the N-sensor technology, like I mentioned. So that will give you that better range of variation across the field. So yeah, a lot more accurate to look at it with that. There's also an N uptake map, which will give you kind of a rough guide on how much nitrogen that area has taken up based again on the satellite image and what colour and biomass it can see there. So those are the kind of maps that you use just kind of as a visual aid. And then I guess we'll talk a little bit more in a minute about the variable rate maps. So that's a kind of a separate thing that you do once you've got your kind of standard satellite imagery.
But all these maps can appear on a computer screen. They're easy to work with as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about this variable fertilizer application. That's obviously something that's increasingly important. There's absolutely no point in wasting good fertilizer in parts of the ground that don't need it. It's a very important aspect of this, isn't it?
Yeah. So with the variable rate maps, what we're trying to do effectively is homogenize that growth. So we don't want poor areas and areas where you're putting too much nitrogen on and vice versa. So what the map does is create that variability map with different colors, and it'll put, say, more maybe on a poorer area and less on a really you know, an area of really high biomass. You can select different options. So you can select leveling, which will try and do exactly what I've said in terms of putting a bit more on the lower areas, or you can select protein applications, which will kind of try and boost all the areas up to a certain level. Within that variability map, you'll set your target rate as well. So whilst it's looking at a broad range of variation within the map, you can set what your target rate is. So for example, if you wanted to say 80 kilos, just as an example of nitrogen, you'll have your target rate at 80, and then it will ask you to set some upper and lower limits. So I would suggest if you've got quite a variable field, you'd want to set those quite widely because you want it to vary to try and even it up. If you've not got much variation, you know, you don't need to alter them by much. Another thing that you can use as well is the end tester reading. If you took the end tester reading, you've got that kind of average for the field, and it will use that as the target rate. So automatically you'll be able to select your end tester reading from the drop down if you've done one for that field, and then use that as your target end rate. So yeah, it works well. They are good, the variability maps, but of course it depends whether you've got that variable rate spreader in the first place. But yeah, certainly a good tool to use.
I suppose it'll depend on their age, but while some farmers are comfortable with smartphones and apps, and there'll be others that like working from PCs or get somebody else to help them work from PCs in the office. How does AtFarm work across the various platforms, and how would you recommend they be used to best advantage?
Yeah, so I'd suggest if you're initially signing up for the system, I'd always do that on the desktop because it's a lot easier to sign up that way. When you're adding your fields, again, I'd use the desktop because if you've got your shape files, you can import them and it does it automatically. You can also add fields manually, which again is easier on the desktop version because you've got lots of little dots that you need to then put around the edge of your field. So it's quite fiddly if you're trying to do it on a phone. So I'd certainly do the field adding on the desktop version. The variability maps, again, you can do it on either, but I would probably try and do them on the computer as well, just because it's easier. But again, you can do them on either. The end tester itself can't be used with the desktop app, obviously, because you need the phone app out in the field to put your parameters in. And you'll see when you use it, it'll tell you how many readings you've done and all sorts, and you'll get the results straight onto your phone as well. So obviously your phone is required for that. And also on your phone, you can look at those different maps that I mentioned. So the NDVI, the optimized map, and the NUptake map as well, just as a quick visual to see. So, it really is a combination of the two for these two kind of desktop and mobile platforms.
And it's true to say these handheld devices are becoming pretty ubiquitous as far as farmers are concerned.
Yeah.
Well, at this stage, I would normally ask you to summarize, Natalie, but that seems inappropriate at the moment. Instead, where can farmers get more information on App Farm or at least get a chance to have a go and try it out?
Yeah, so if you just want to go to, I guess the easiest way is to Google App Farm rather than me read the address out. But if you look for it there, it's free to sign up. So log on, have a go, add a field, see what you think to the system, and you can go from there, really. So it's a great way for people to maybe take their first step into precision nitrogen applications, because you don't necessarily need to spend any money on big pieces of kit or anything, and you've got that variability map that you can then plug straight in if you have got that variable rate option on your spreader.
And just as important, it's a way of recording what you've used and giving you more data on your farming practices as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's versatile, so it doesn't matter what product you're using. If you've got a liquid UAN, or if you're solid, it encompasses everything there. And you might think with it being a Yara system, it's only got the Yara products in, but it's got the ability to pretty much put any product in. Obviously, we'd like you to use the Yara products though, if possible.
Thank you, Natalie Wood, Yara's Agronomy Operations Manager. It's been a fascinating look at what at one time seemed science fiction, but is now just a normal part of farm management. No doubt we'll be able to do even more as time goes on and technology gets even smarter. I'm Ken Rundle, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with another look at the world of crop nutrition. Join me then.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.